We're doing a great work, but there remains a lot of work to do. And just while I think of it too, we talked about our mission trips that are coming up. Linda has some mission trips coming up also. June, July, I believe some people are going to Kenya. She's building an orphanage. A lot of work can be done there. I know John Hansen's going and I think some others. So contact her if you're interested in that. What I want to talk about today is how you can release your potential for God's purposes. A child is born. It's Christmas time. And Christmas is about a beautiful baby in the manger, not yet able to do a great deal, but so full of potential. Jesus is a very special baby, God's son, sent from heaven to become a human person. I find that amazing. To fulfill God's purpose. And what is that purpose? To overcome sin and Satan so that we can be set free to become all that God wants us to be here on earth, and that when we die, we will live with him for eternity. Baby Jesus was so very little, so dependent on Mary and Joseph for all things, but within that baby was the potential to transform you and me, the potential to transform the world. And that same potential is within us. Potential to touch lives, potential to see people saved and made whole, to see people come into the kingdom and become all that he wants them to be. Potential to transform Gosnells, to transform Australia, and even to transform the world. As I said this morning, I want to talk about how to release your potential. Now, as we've been talking about this morning, Real Life Church is doing amazing things. Many of you are involved in the various activities of the church, and there are great things happening. Hearts are being changed, people are coming into the kingdom, lives are being transformed. Your lives are being transformed. Overseas, wonderful things are happening through our missionaries, but I wonder if there's more. I wonder if we're holding back any of that potential within us. And I wonder if we as individuals and as a church could accomplish even greater things for him. I'm going to grab one of Ivan's wheat seeds. And I have to remember to use this one. Nope, not quite doing it. Tony? Am I going the right way? There we go. Thank you. Whatever happened? Yeah, it's on. Okay, I have a wheat seed. A wheat seed. So small, so insignificant, but with the potential to produce much grain. And sometimes we might look at ourselves and think that we're like that. So small, so insignificant, but in God's hands, we can do great things if we allow him. In God's hands, you can do great things. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Amen. I don't know what potential you have. I don't know the fullness of what God could accomplish in you, and you probably don't either. But we don't have to know. We just need to be surrendered to God. 30 years ago when I became a Christian, did I know that I would now be travelling around the world training children's workers? No clue. Not in my wildest dreams did I ever imagine such a thing. But I did something back then which began the process of releasing the potential that God had given me. One day in my house, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I don't know what your plan is for my life, but whatever you want, that's what I want. Have you ever done that? Have you ever told God that your life is in his hands and he has permission to do whatever he wants? You can do that today. And that is a wonderful way to start to release the potential within you. You probably won't end up doing what I'm doing. But what I do know is that when we get serious with God, you've probably heard me say this before, when we get serious with God, God gets serious with us. Have you got serious with God? I mean, really serious. Have you ever trusted him with your whole life? Put everything in his hands. Your job, your income, your relationships, your future. It's all yours, Lord. I'll do whatever you want. Have you ever done that? I know many of you have, but maybe some of you haven't. Scary, maybe, but it's exciting. And it's not until you really trust God that you really see God in action. Some of you have heard my story of how I used to be a missionary in the Philippines. And to start off with, I was living on my savings. But then my savings ran out and I had nothing. And I was very nervous. But I look back and I'm so grateful for that time, because at that time when I had nothing, God started to provide for me supernaturally, miraculously. And since then, we have continued to experience again and again his miraculous provision. And you can too, if you will trust him. So long as we're depending on our own resources, our own ambitions, our own thinking, our own plans, even our own bank account, we will not be dependent on God. And we will not be experiencing the fullness of all that he has for us. Do you want to experience more of God? Do you want him to use you more? Do you want to see the fullness of your potential in God being released? God can use you in ways beyond which you thought or imagined. And I wonder what God could do in you. If you were really sold out to God, what could God do in you? Someone said, and I can't remember who said it to us, but someone said that you can count how many seeds are in an apple, but you can't count how many apples are in a seed. I love that. I have an apple. And we cut up an apple the other day and we counted how many seeds. I was surprised. It only had 3. I was expecting a few more, but that apple had 3 seeds. We can cut it up. We can count how many seeds are in an apple. But if you take one apple seed, how many apples will come from that? No idea. No clue. But the potential is there to produce an abundance. Not just one tree, but from that tree can come more and more and more. We can know what we're doing, but we cannot know at this stage what God can do through us and through the potential he has in us. Maybe through your kindness, someone is touched by the love of God and decides to find out more about Jesus. Maybe through your invitation, someone comes to church and is saved. Maybe through your giving, hundreds of people have an opportunity to receive Bibles. Maybe through your prayer, thousands of lives could be affected. Maybe through your going, eyes are opened and lives are transformed. What could Jesus do through you? Here's my wheat seed again. Now, this seed has the potential to produce much grain. We want much grain. Do we want a harvest here in Gosnells? A harvest in Australia? A harvest in the world? Okay, how do we get much grain from this one seed? This seed has great potential, but that potential needs to be released. How? Something needs to happen to this seed before any grain can be produced. And as long as that seed remains in my hand, there won't be any crop and its potential will not be released. It's the same with you. You can stay in your status quo. You can stay in your present situation and say, no, I don't want more of Jesus in my life. Or you can say, yes, I want to walk in the fullness of my potential. I want to bring forth much fruit. But for that to happen, something needs to take place. And of course, we know what that is. The seed needs to go in the soil. Something happens to the seed when it's in the soil. John 12:24 says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. So how do we produce a harvest? You got it, huh? Like the seed, we need to die. Okay, now don't go out and do anything drastic. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about physical death. Please don't do that. What it means is that if we want a harvest, we need to be dead to ourselves. It means that we need to choose to obey God no matter what. It means to refuse to be governed by our flesh, but instead be governed by our spirit. It means that we refuse to live according to our own plans, our own ambitions, our own desires, our comfort, our fears, our insecurities, and even our sense of inadequacy. All those things we put to death, we die to self, so that the Spirit of God might live through us and produce an abundant harvest. Easy, huh? Maybe not. But what does dying to self look like? Well, of course, it looks different to each one of us. Each one of us have different struggles. Here are some examples. God might ask you to turn the TV off and pray for Syria, or to pray for hands in Thailand, or for Alan and Elizabeth in Pakistan, or the lady down the road. He might ask you to get up in the morning to pray for the government, or to pray for Gosnells, or for families that are struggling. God might ask you to speak to a person that you're not well acquainted with, or someone you don't really like or feel afraid to approach, at church, at work, in your neighbourhood, at the shops, in your school, at uni. He might ask to develop a friendship with a neighbour of another culture with which we're not familiar. He might ask us to approach Pastor Dave to offer our help around the church to do something that needs doing. God might ask us to give away some money that we'd planned for a special outing, or give away something that is precious to us. He might ask us to change our career, to sell our home and downsize, to study the Bible more at home or go to Bible college. Maybe he wants us to go on a short-term missions trip, or even a long-term missions living overseas. And can I just say there, I really want to encourage young people to think about missions. We often look at our missionaries and they're all our age, they're oldies. But young people, allow God to have his way in your life, because God can use you and can do great things. I don't know what God is going to ask of you. It might be something big. It might be something really little. But when he speaks to your heart, when you know he's asking you to do something or to not do something, how will you respond? Yes or no? Being surrendered to God is often a battle within ourselves, a battle between flesh and spirit, a battle between our will and God's will. Have you ever experienced that type of battle? Who won? God's will or your will? In Indonesia a couple of years ago, we were staying in the home of a pastor who heads a church of 6,000. On the Sunday we were there, he preached, I think it was five or six times. And we were talking to him. I was commenting to him on the enormity of his work and how demanding it must be for him. And his answer shocked me at first. He said to me that his work is not difficult. He said that the most difficult part is coming to the place of being willing to obey God. And it's the same for all of us. Doing what God requires is actually not hard. He tells us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He enables us, he strengthens us, and he provides us with the anointing and the knowledge and the wisdom that we need. A number of times this year, Ivan and I have said to ourselves, when we're weak, he is strong. And that's been to encourage each other because we've just felt in ourselves inadequate. Maybe we've felt tired, we've felt that we don't have within us what it takes. And yet when we stand up and we teach a group of people, somehow God is there and somehow it all goes well. We're not always tired, but there are times when we just need to remind ourselves that God is strong. We've experienced again and again and again God's faithfulness. When we feel totally useless, he is more than able. Hard part is not doing God's will, but being willing to do God's will. So very quickly, how do we do that? Well, we pray. That's a good start. Praying really helps us. We can express to God our desire to be surrendered to him, and he will certainly help us. We can read the Word of God. We've been talking about that a lot this year, and that can certainly help us. Somebody said, whatever you feed grows. If you're feeding your flesh grows. If you're feeding your spirit grows. And as we read God's Word, it reminds us of his priorities. It reminds us of how he wants us to live, and it can prepare us for what is coming. But ultimately, it's a choice to obey God. We need to not be led by our feelings, not be led by our emotions, but be choosing to obey God. At work, maybe we're getting frustrated with a workmate. And we may not feel like forgiving. We may feel like punching him in the nose. But we need to choose to obey God. You may know that you need to go to bed at a reasonable hour so you can get out to pray with God early in the morning. But you feel like watching just one more show on TV, just one more video game. We need to not be led by our feelings. Maybe God is instructing you to fast and pray, but you don't feel like it, and that cheesecake looks mighty good. Don't be led by your feelings. Choose to obey God. It can be a battle, but we can win the battle. In Romans, it tells us we are no longer slaves of sin. We don't have to yield to sin. We can win the battle. We have the power and the capacity to be obedient to God. It's within us. We need to choose to do that. So you can remain alone, a single seed, or you can choose, to die to self and to bring forth a harvest, to release the full potential within you. Now, I know that's a challenging word. I've been challenged. One of the really hard things as a preacher is that you have to live what you preach. That's challenging. But maybe the Lord's been speaking to some of you today about being really dead to self. Maybe you're doing it to some degree, maybe you're not. But I want to challenge you this morning. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand up so that I can pray for you. You might feel awkward and embarrassed standing up, but I'm doing this intentionally because I want you to die to self. Yeah. So I'm going to ask if you are willing, by God's help, to die to self so that the fullness of God can be released in you, so that the harvest and the potential within you can come forth, then I would like you to stand up so that I can pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for every heart here. I thank you for every person who is standing. Lord, I don't know the potential that they have, but you do. And today they're giving it to you, Lord. Today they're saying, Lord, I want to die to self. I don't want to follow my selfish ambitions. I want to put those things to one side and I want to follow you. So, Lord, I know that you are pleased with them. I know that you have received and accepted their lives. And, Father, I ask that that seed that is planted today, that seed that is offering up its life today, will bring forth an abundant harvest, Lord, in their lives, in the lives of their families, in Gosnells, in Australia, and in the world, Lord. And Father, when it's hard, when they don't feel like obeying, when they feel like giving up, Father, I ask that you would help them, that you would strengthen them, because when they are weak, you are strong, and you have given them the capacity to choose to obey. So Father, we believe for a harvest. We praise you and we thank you. Do great things with these lives in Jesus' name. Amen.